We, you know, our prayers are kind of crying out, like, Lord, please, can you do something? And so I wanted to share with you guys tonight something that I hope really encourages you. Let's just open in prayer. Lord, as your children, we gather together, committed to figuring out how to serve you better. And God, I pray that in this place tonight, your Holy Spirit would just begin to stir up our hearts. I pray that you would anoint tonight, and I pray that you would speak to every single person where they're at with what their needs are. You know the unique needs of their heart, and I just pray that you would reach down deep into their heart tonight and just touch them, Lord. And so I pray that tonight is a very real night, and I ask that you would transform us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 8 through to 17, feel free to read along with me. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is both a challenging or an encouraging passage of Scripture. And Paul is speaking to the believer here. And it's, up front, I just want to make sure I clarify that. If you're unsaved, by all means, take in what we're talking about here. But this message or the directives that I think the Lord is putting on his children, it's for the believer. It's for those that are saved. And this chapter is an awesome reminder for us to walk upright, to walk in the light. If I was to ask the people that know you best to describe you, would they describe someone that is a disciple of Christ? Do we walk a walk which best represents who God is? It says in Ephesians, it says, live a life which is worthy of the call that you have received. Colossians tells us that we're to live a life which is pleasing to God. Are we known for that? Is that our reputation for Christ? Are we, as it says in Ephesians, are we walking in the light? Are we children of the light? With the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Is that us? Now, you're saved. Now, your salvation is not a fickle thing, and that's not going to be taken from you, but how do we walk? And so tonight, I want to speak to that and just see if there's something that God's calling us out. God's squeezing or pushing on something in your life, and it's something that needs to be dealt with, and it's for his glory. We have a responsibility as Christians to pursue understanding. And I don't know often how intentional we are as Christians with figuring out how to grow with God. And so tonight we are going to talk about what we can do to allow God to move in our life. And for the sake of clarity, because I don't want to be misunderstood on a couple of things, I want to tell you what we're not talking about. Because there are going to be some people maybe who haven't been in this church long to know, what the Lord has to say about our salvation and in particular our faith and works. So first of all, let me just clarify, it's not a salvation issue. This isn't about, does your life look right? Are you saved? That's not what I'm questioning tonight. Your salvation is not a fickle thing. It's not fragile. You're not going to be walking around with it, and then you do something stupid, and you're like, oh, no. Head back to church. I'll go up the front on Wednesday night. I'll be all good. I'll go grab me a new salvation. I hope they got some in stock. That's not what we're talking about. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians. You can breathe easy. This isn't about your salvation. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, then believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it's super important tonight that you understand I'm not asking you to weigh your life to decide if you're saved. If you've accepted Christ into your life and you're saved, then this is awesome. This isn't about our salvation. It's our journey that we're talking about tonight. And I'm going to also just make sure we're all on the same page regarding faith and works. Inevitably, at some point tonight, I'm going to say something where somebody's going to say, "Ooh, that sounds like a works thing. I'm not saved by what I do. I'm saved by God's grace." Absolutely, you are, and that's awesome. And so Ephesians 2, 8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So you are saved, you have the gift of salvation has been given to you without prejudice. There were no terms and conditions. There's not some return policy or some probation that you're going to do with this gift that you've been given. There's nothing you can do to deserve or earn the salvation. We all fall short of the glory of God. And it finishes, that verse 9 says, "Lest anyone should boast." You and I have nothing to boast about. We don't get to stand before God one day and say, "I can understand why you saved this guy. I was doing pretty good down there." You know, we all don't deserve it. It's a free gift. We're saved by grace. Salvation is not a delicate thing. And this isn't about how we're going to earn our way into heaven. And it's super important that we understand that. So tonight's message is for the believer. And just keep that in mind as we talk about things. Point one, there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. We desire as Christians to live in submission to the Holy Spirit every day. We wake up in the morning and we get dressed and we take on the day. And we're just trying to navigate between being in the flesh and being in the spirit. And we're kind of battling. And you know those moments when you get into the flesh. I do. Those kind of moments where you just, I don't know, you're tired or someone says something or whatever. And you just, something inside of you just, the worst of you comes out. We all battle between being in the flesh and being in the spirit. I want to read from you Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, so maybe just read on the screens along with me. It says, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. But if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, it's sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, and not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. For if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells within me." Goodness, Paul is having a rough time here, isn't he? "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see my members, there's another war waging against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Oh, wretched man am I, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit." Man, this is heavy. I mean, the whole book of Romans is one dense doctrinal chapter or book. And I kind of like the, transparency of the author here. Just, man, there's a war raging inside of me. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I desire to do, I can't do. Then I do it, and it's the my renewed mind. And there's this battle. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. It exists. Do you know how many times I've met with someone who kind of just doesn't even want to acknowledge that we're at war? They don't even realize that there are things contending for their soul. It's like somebody going to a soldier going to Afghanistan, oblivious to the fact that there's a war. They're not kitted up. They walk out to the battlefield, lay out a blanket, and have a picnic. They don't even realize they're at war. There is a war raging inside all of us. And we need to understand that. And I think back to when I think I was about 16 or something when I got serious about God, or in the very least started making serious decisions for God. And I remember thinking, man, I can't wait till I'm an adult. Man, it's going to be a lot easier being a Christian. Just, you know, I mean, I'm 16 and there's a lot to deal with. You know, the flesh and the spirit are well and truly at war. It's like that's a real hot zone for war or something. And then I became an adult and nothing changed. It was still super difficult. And it's still the flesh and the spirit warring against one another. So then I thought, man, I can't wait till I get married and I can just kind of, everything will just calm down a little bit. Then I got married, and I was still at war. Not with my wife, just within myself, my flesh and the spirit. So then I thought, you know what it is? I need to get a house and have a dedicated room for prayer. So I got a house, and I got a dedicated room. I'm still at war. We're at war, and this isn't gonna stop. There's always going to be that battle between the flesh and the spirit. And our soul is going to be getting pulled one way or the other. So it's super important that as believers, we recognize that we are in a battle. It's very real. There is a contrast here. There are choices to make. And Galatians 5 reiterates this. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So this is, we're in a war. This exists. And just before we continue, I just want to make one thing super clear because, again, I want to make sure that we are on the same page with how we understand the power and the authority we have in God. This battle between that's warring inside of us, it can't be won outside of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. There's no self-occupation, there's no plan, there's no strategy or maneuvering that we can do to deal with that battle at hand. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit and by Jesus. And so I just want to reiterate that as tonight, as we talk about practical things that we can do, in itself, those are not things that are going to necessarily conquer these spiritual battles. But these are things that we can do to allow the Spirit of God and Jesus to move in our life and to have a victory. Okay, so number two, we recognize that we are at war. There is flesh and there is a spirit, and that's going inside all of us. Second, number two, we are called to walk in the Spirit. This should go without saying. God doesn't save our souls and then say, hey, I don't care how you get up here, I'll see you soon. It's not. God does care about how we now live with Him. Now, the gift of salvation is something that is given to us. But then and now we are called to walk in the Spirit. That is the evidence of this decision that we've made to follow Christ. Ephesians 5, we just read it. Let me go back and read it to you, just in light of what we're talking about. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. It goes on, verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It tells us to walk circumspectly, cautiously, checking our surroundings, walking intentionally, deliberately. We are called to walk in the Spirit. And I'd go as far to say as not only is that God's plan for us, He's commissioned us to do it. We've been commanded to do that. It's not like, you know what, you're saved. How you kind of navigate your way through life, the option's yours. You can flesh it or you can spirit it. You know, my advice, guys, as you go the Spirit, But that's not what he's doing. He's saying, hey, we're to walk in the Spirit. We're children of God. God, Jesus gave his life and he sacrificed himself for us to have access to a holy God. Jesus came down as a man, did not sin, therefore giving him jurisdiction and authority over sin. Sin had no hold on him. Sin had no authority over him because he did not give into it. And because God is over here and he's holy, and our darkness and our sin, which separates us from God, a holy God is over there, and we're sinners, and we're meant to be in union with the Creator. Something has to be done about our sin, and that is Jesus. Because he has victory over sin, he is the one that can give us authority and access to the throne room of God. This is what we believe. This is the foundation of our faith. Now, in light of that, we need to walk in the light. We need to walk upright. We need to walk in a way that is pleasing to him. We need to live a life which is worthy of the call that we've received. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because we're alive in the Spirit. We're the temple for the Holy Spirit. Now let's walk in the Spirit too. Galatians 5:16, just before the last verse, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures tonight, and I'm not going to apologize for that. I think it's necessary. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, would you think it's odd if I got married, had a wedding here? Did somebody just say yes when I said it would be odd if I got married? It would be, because I'm already married. So I guess that would be odd if I doubled up on a wedding. But when we get married, that wedding day, and we sign that marriage certificate, it's before the witnesses, we exchange our vows, I'm married. Now, I have to go and have a marriage. Would you think it's odd if I didn't move in with my wife, and we live separate, and maybe I visited her every second weekend? No, that would be odd to be married and not live a marriage. And it's the same with us. We are saved. We're children of God. Should we not now live as if we are children of God? Walking in the light, walking in the Spirit? It reminds me of the, you know, and I apologize if there's somebody here that does this, but it usually means something offensive is on the way when I say it. No, it's not, but those people that own that amazing car, a 19-something, 50s. I don't know cars, so I don't know what to say now. What's a nice car? Like a Mustang? Is that a nice car? All right. Sorry, I should prepare for these kind of stories. It's like a person who has that incredible car, they put it in the garage, up on blocks, and like, phew, look at my car. And they never drive it. You have it, you've purchased it, you own it, you have that contract with it, you've made that decision, you've brought that into your life, and you close the garage door. See you later. We don't want to live like that as believers. Again, hey, you're saved, you've got fire insurance, you're not going to burn. Cool. It matters how we live. And moreover, in context of living in the Spirit, living in the flesh is a horrific life. It's a destructive life. It's a discouraging life. It's a fruitless life. You're in bondage. Now, we're not bound by the law, but we're bound when we break the law. We're in bondage to it. And that's what happens when we live in darkness. It is not a freeing. It's not an enjoyable life. And we were singing about it tonight, where there is the Spirit of the Lord, is there is freedom. And that's an incredible thing when you are walking in the Spirit and you feel safe. I was telling one of the worship leaders over coffee one day, I wake up in the morning and I feel safe because I'm not doing stuff. I don't live a perfect life, and every day I have the same war as you guys in the flesh, in the spirit. But you know what? I'm not handing myself over to something stupid. I'm not caught up in pornography or something like that. There's not this thing that owns me, and I'm in bondage to it, and I'm just battling. You feel the safety and the freedom that comes with walking in the spirit is liberating, and that's God's desire for you. You are going to struggle. You're going to war to the day you die. But fight the good fight. That's what Paul talks about finishing the race. So we are called to walk in the Spirit. And this is where I'm going to say something where some of you may kind of like, ooh, I think I'm going to check out now and play solitaire on my iPhone. To walk in the Spirit, we need to walk in obedience. Walking in the Spirit is to obey His commands. You might say, well, God does it. God's not concerned about my performance. Yes, He is. You know, Ephesians 2, verse 8, I read it before. Let's read it again. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." But then what does it say? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Oh, we all claim the first part of that verse, eh? We're like, oh, saved by grace. I don't have to do anything to get my salvation. Oh, and we celebrate that one. But it goes on to say, and now that you're saved, you are the workmanship of Christ, and you are to walk in these good works that Christ has laid out for us. We have a responsibility. 1 John chapter 3. "Now he that keeps my commandments abides in him, and him in me. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit who he has given us." Again, he who keeps his commandments abides in him. I'm going to keep going. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We all know this one. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." Acceptable. Think now, I'm not looking for a show of hands or anything, but you know those moments when you're not in the Spirit or you've put your hand to something stupid that you shouldn't be doing. Is that acceptable? Is this pleasing to the Lord? We need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. John 14, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." You know, it's very popular in church culture today to give you some feel-good encouragement of, you know what, you can't outrun grace. God's grace and mercy is so big. He loves you where you're at. And that's all true. And we celebrate His grace, but then we don't prioritize obedience. They are compatible with one another. Yes, you can't outrun God's grace. And He's as awesome, His love. Wherever you're at, no matter what you've done, He will pick you up and He'll take you as His child. That's awesome. Then what? We need to obey His commandments. That's what it is, to love Him and to abide in Him. So we've acknowledged that there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. We've said that we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. God's requiring that of us. We've said that to walk in the Spirit is to walk in obedience. What is it to walk in obedience? What are we walking in obedience to? Well, that's a good question, and let's talk about this, because this is really getting to the heart of what I want to talk about tonight. God speaks to us through His Word and through the leading of His Holy Spirit. That is what we are needing to walk in obedience to. Obedience to His Word. Psalms 119. We should know this one. This is David saying, "With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Galatians, faith in the word produces obedience, which in turn produces the power. Hosea 4:6, My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. We need to know his word. We need to understand it. We need to digest it. We need to input it into our lives. And so as David said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Because if we have to walk in obedience, because that's what it is to walk in the Spirit, because there is a battle at hand, and we have to walk in obedience to the word, we have to know the word. There's power in the revelation of God, and this is where he reveals himself to us. You know, the Bible's the only written revelation of God. There's some good books out there, but that ain't the written revelation of God. It's the Bible. It's what we breathe. And we need to activate that authority in our lives. We need to come into a knowledge of who he is, what he desires for us. God isn't silent. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to us. So this is what I'm submitting to you tonight, is that if you want to walk into obedience, you need to get into the word and you need to experience the revelation of what he's saying, and we need to then respond to it. I guess it was meant to be a joke. It's just not a funny one, but it illustrates what I'm saying. There's a gentleman that prayed to the Lord, God, I pray that I'd win the lottery this Saturday. And so he's a man of faith, he believed. And sure enough, that Saturday, he waits for the lucky numbers, and he doesn't win. So he's like, oh, that's weird. It's like, God, I prayed. And now I'm going to fast, but God, I pray that I would win the lottery this Saturday. This Saturday comes around, and sure enough, he doesn't win again. He's like, what? This is confusing. He's like, God, what's going on? And God says, well, do me a favor. Can you buy a lottery ticket? It's not a funny joke, I realize that, but that's what we're like so much of the time. Did you know so many of our prayers are answered in the revelation of God? So, for example, every man's prayed this, except for me. They've prayed, Lord, I just pray you'd fix my wife. God, I don't know what's happened. It's hormones or something, but Lord, God, I pray that you'd be at work. And you pray for God to come in and do something. And you listen like, God, why doesn't he do anything? Do you know why? Because he's already answered you in his word. In Ephesians chapter 5, when he tells you to love your wife like Christ loved the church, he tells you to love her, he tells you to handle her a certain way. God has already spoken to that. God's revealing himself to us. We need to activate it by responding to the power of God's word, the authority that can be in our life. So many of our prayers and our desires are fulfilled when we get into the word and we begin to activate it and we begin to walk in obedience to it. I'm going to tell you a story about my first dance. I was 12 years old, and no 12-year-old boy wants to go to a dance. We don't know how to dance. I don't think guys know how to dance in general, let alone at a 12-year-old. 12-year-olds are awkward, we don't know how to dress, and now we're going to a dance to try and impress people. So I go to this dance, and my sister, she gave me some dance tips. She told me, just do this one. So I'm like, I can handle that. So I picked the best outfit I had or whatever, and I went to this dance, and it was joint together with a bunch of schools. And so I knew about three people from my school there, and we're all standing around, girls on that side, we're on the side, just looking at each other, nobody's doing anything. And eventually I did have to go dance for the first time, and has anyone else had this experience? It's just me? Can you guys all dance or something? So I'm up there, the music's playing, you don't look at the girl, it's just... And anyway, and then the song finished, and you're like... And so anyway, someone comes up to me and he says, hey Morgan, see that guy over there? He wants to meet you behind the speakers. I'm like, oh. And so I'm like, oh. Hello? And it's this guy there, and he is cool. He has a leather jacket. A leather jacket. He's 12. The collar's popped. Okay, that's very intimidating. Even today that makes me feel, ooh. So the collar's popped, and he looks at me. This is absolutely truth. He says to me, standing like this, yes, you want this? And he's holding a candy bar in his hand. He goes, oh, you want this? And I don't know what, this guy's name's Tony, by the way. I don't know what his problem is with me. I don't know him from Adam. He's waving his fist at me. He goes, you want this or you want this? And I'm like, oh. I'm like, I'll take that, thanks. And I reach for the candy bar. I'm like, oh. And walked away. Two things with this guy. One, he didn't think it through. He thought it was pretty cool, eh? It's like, you want this or you want this? What if I choose the candy bar? He's got to give it to me, yeah? So there is a point maybe to this story in a moment. So I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I'm telling him the story, and he said, Morgan, you realize he wasn't offering you the candy bar. He was showing you two fists, but he just happened to be holding a candy bar. I'm like, for the past 30-odd years, I've been thinking, I thought he had given me options. I took the candy bar. And, but the point is, there's always, here's the kind of loose point. There's a scripture that says, and I think it's Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, you know, a gentle word turns away harsh wrath. And so that's a really roundabout way of me of showing you an example of, I'm in a situation, and I have a choice. And if I know the word of God, I have options to now walk in the Spirit and walk in obedience. And now, admittedly, because I could have gone a couple of ways here. He goes, you want this or you want this? I said, well, my friend, and then throw in a big kick or something. You want this? And I could have upgraded or escalated that situation. And if I wasn't an incompetent coward at the time, I may have done that. But I was in a situation, and I just diffused it all. It's become, oh, I'll take this thing, you know. And although it's a funny series of events, that's the kind of situation when we're kingdom living, doing life for God, and he gives us his word, it activates things in our lives. It keeps us in the Spirit. We have to know his word. And the second part of this is we need to walk in obedience to the leading of his Holy Spirit. When we're walking in obedience, it strengthens our discernment of the Spirit of God. When you're walking in darkness, when you're walking in the flesh, it's tough. Now, we have the Spirit of God inside of us and we're saved, but our actions and our environment and the thing we're doing when we're in that sin, it's difficult for us to sense the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to assure us. He's come to give us counsel, to remind us, to bring us things to remembrance. God has filled us with his Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus said, I must go, but I'm going to send you something better. I'm going to send you the Spirit of God to dwell inside of us. That is awesome. That is the Holy Spirit. That gives us a fighting chance, guys, to do this. John 14, verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 16, verse 8 says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We need to walk in obedience to his word and his Holy Spirit. The word of God is the highest authority in our lives, and the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the ability to do it. And there's this kind of this fulfilling, beautiful kind of cycle that God has where, on one hand, we need to be walking in obedience, walking in the light to sense and discern the Holy Spirit. But then on the other hand, to even walk in obedience, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So from wherever we are, God's Spirit that's inside of us, we need to follow the unctioning of the Holy Spirit as he prompts us, as he brings to remembrance scripture. It says here, and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. What does that infer? That we have read it and that we know things to bring to our remembrance. He's wanting, like in that situation with Tony, if I don't know any scripture and I don't know the things he's told me, It's done for the Holy Spirit to bring into remembrance these things. So we need to be in the Word, and then we're empowered by His Holy Spirit to fulfill the Word. Obedience, and this is the hope, this is the beautiful thing. Obedience produces fruit. The effects of the flesh and the spirit are antithetical. They produce very different things in our lives. In Galatians 5, we won't read it right now, but it goes through what some of those things are. But when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are walking in obedience, good things are in store. You know what it does? It gives us understanding. It gives us joy. It gives us blessing. It gives us breakthroughs. It gives us perspective. It gives us encouragement. It gives us answers. When we are walking in the light, when walking in obedience, it begins to cultivate these revelations, things that are a blessing to us, things that are good to us. Let's go through some verses. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Talking to Abraham, it says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." I'm up for a blessing. It's worth obeying his voice. Psalms 111, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commanding." Yeah, do his commanding. Do his commandments. Understanding. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to obey his commandments so I can get a good understanding. Luke 11, 28 says, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I think we're a simple bunch probably at the end of the day. And when we walk in obedience to the perfect law of God, he will convert our soul. And that's powerful. Romans 15 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." Man, that is the fruit. I started tonight and I said to you guys, I think we're good-willed Christians who want more. I said, I believe that we're hungry for something. We want to see God move. Maybe we want a better understanding in our minds. We want to understand who God is more. Maybe it's in our hearts. Maybe we want to feel something. We want more of an experience in God. Maybe it's your situation. You want things to change. Whether it's your head, whether it's your heart, or whether it's your situation, you're desiring and you have an appetite for more. And you want God to move. And you pray about it. And you're asking God to have his way with you and do something. Or maybe you're saying, God, I'm ready for the next thing. I want to change up a gear. I want to do something for you. Activate me. Deploy me. Do something. And maybe you're hungry for that. And there might be a whole lot of reasons why you're feeling stagnant. Maybe you're sitting on your hands and you're not even in the Word. Maybe there are things you're just not walking in obedience to. Man, I remember, and some of you young people will resonate with this, I remember praying, Lord, I pray you'd bring me my wife. I was in my early 20s or something. And meanwhile, I was hanging out with a girl who I knew wasn't going to be my wife. I didn't like her, but I wanted the company or something. And I'm sitting here, God, deliver me my wife. Don't mind her, she'll be gone when you deliver the wife. When you bring me the real thing. And God's saying, we say to God, oh, I want you to move. And he's saying, yeah, I want you to move. Get rid of that girl. I've got a wife for you. You know, this is, I don't know if this is going to be my description on the way I think God works sometime. He doesn't exclusively work like this, but this is how God's revealed himself to me. How many, you guys have seen those people, they're in the Olympics maybe, they do the walking racing? You know the ones, eh? And so, they always do that. Their hips are out of control, and they've got little pants on that are, and they walk, and they're going quite fast to their credit, but it would be quicker to run, which is worth noting. But they're doing their walking, and then there's some friend or teammate standing up ahead with some water, and they're like this. And they've always got the hat or whatever and with a number showing that they're official. And they're waiting for them to come by. They give them the water. And the person grabs it, throws it on themselves, discards the cup, and they're gone, you know. So you guys, you've got that picture in your mind of that, right? Do you know what I think it's like sometimes with God? Is we're running the race. We're doing our thing, right? God's over here, and he's got something for us. Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's an answer to something. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's whatever it is. There's something. God's got something there for us. And he's waiting for us to get in position. And he's like, all right, here he comes. Meanwhile, we're over here. We're walking. And then we're like, oh. And we hang out over here for a while. And we start doing whatever. And, you know, I remember God put this on my heart because I remember thinking, you know, God was sitting here one day. He had his wife for me. Hang on, what? He had his wife for me? My wife for me. We are the bride of Christ, I guess. So God's got Ashley here for me. And he's waiting for me to get into a place in my life where I'm walking in obedience. I understand his word. I'm on the straight and narrow. And what can happen is, oh, hey, what's your name? I'm Morgan. What's going on, girl? This didn't happen. I wouldn't do that to Ashley. But God is requiring something of us. He wants us to step up. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to walk in obedience. He wants us to walk a life that is worthy of the call that he has received, that we've received. This is encouraging, by the way. I'm not sure if it's coming across like that, but this is good because God wants to activate something in our lives. You know, my previous church, when I was young, it was a very Pentecostal church, and every week I used to see people come up, and there'd be manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and there was some unusual things, and I used to be on stage playing music, and I used to just watch. That's weird, you know. And I don't mean to belittle or minimize that, because the Holy Spirit is, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are at work in our lives, but my problem was this. These are people that I knew that were walking in the flesh, and they walk away unchanged. Let's not be that. I'm going to read to you right now from the book of James. Chapter 1 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of his work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If you want more, if you do feel like that glass ceiling over your relationship with God, if you're wanting to spread your wings, if you're wanting a breakthrough, a healing, whatever it is that you're wanting from God, I'm encouraging you to live a life where you're walking in obedience and you're walking on the Spirit. Don't leave tonight that person that nodded along, chuckled because, yes, those people that walk look a little funny, and not transform your life. Now, what is it? Acts 5:32, I think it says that Holy Spirit gives power to those who that obey his voice. We're going to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Yes, we're covered by grace, and yes, this isn't going to earn you into heaven, but we are called to walk straight and to walk right and to consider our path before us. 1 John tells us about walking in the light and says there should be evidences for our salvation. Galatians talks about it. Ephesians talks about it. Romans talks about it. Corinthians talks about it. In fact, one of the biggest themes of the Bible is God and his people seeing obedience and disobedience. God requiring something and then just going AWOL and robbing themselves of the things that God has for them. And lastly, to try and pull this all together with the heart of what we're talking about. We have been captivated by a loving and faithful God. What is the motivation for our obedience? Romans 2, verse 4, it says, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Matthew 6 says this, we've heard it, says, seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness and all that other things will be added. At the heart of all of us tonight should be this. God, I love you. You've saved me. You died on the cross. I want to make you proud. I'm going to do good. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to walk as straight as I can. And I'm going to be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. I'm going to get in your word because I need to be equipped to walk in obedience. I need some authority in my life because I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. So now I need that authority and I'm going to walk. And when a situation arises, when your Tony offers you a candy bar or a fist, you're going to have something to hold on to. And, you know, we all have moments in the day where we have an opportunity to get into the flesh. And you know that moment when you give into it. But here's my encouragement to you guys, because we're walking in obedience, because we serve a God who's worth it, and his goodness draws us to repentance, we're going to be in that situation and we're not going to engage it. We're going to exercise humility. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to apologize with whatever standoff we're having with somebody. And then when we see that thing, that sin, maybe you're on the computer and there's this website you always go to, you're going to break your mouse. You're going to back off and you say, I am winning this one. There's a war raging inside of me, but I am not going to walk in the flesh. I'm going to walk into obedience because I want more. I want God to be alive inside of me. I want to be a light for a lost world. You know, there's a difference between, you know, obedience and compliance. I'm not asking you to comply. I'm asking you to obey after being motivated and compelled by a very loving God. And we can only do that through his Holy Spirit. And with a humble heart, we need to repent. I want to share a story with you guys. It's Acts chapter 16. This really spoke to me in a difficult time in my life. And it illustrates a lot of what we're talking about. And, you know, I'm no different than a lot of you guys. I go through stuff and I find it difficult and I sometimes don't handle it well. And, you know, I have to repent and I ask for the Lord's wisdom and strength. But let me read this to you. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was going to kill himself. But Paul said with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. This is an incredible story. Paul and Silas were doing the work of God. They were doing ministry, and there was a possessed girl behind them that was kind of bothering them. And it says that Paul got annoyed. So he turned around, he delivered that spirit from them and set them free. That's awesome, right? That's God's work. Sounds positive. The people that owned that slave girl, we're just out of business here. She was telling the future. They were making money off her. So they got angry. So they beat him. They, you know, roughed him up, whipped him, put him in prison. He doesn't deserve that. He's in a situation where he's like, "What? God?" But what we see, what Paul and Silas do here is awesome. And it's a challenge and encouragement to all of us. What were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. They were chained. They shouldn't be there. They hadn't done anything wrong. Most of us, I probably would have been like, "God, this is This is not cool. I was doing your work and now you have me in this very difficult place. But these are spirit-filled guys that God's goodness brings them to repentance, and they ignored their situation. They sought God first and all his righteousness. And what happened? The chains were broken in their life. The foundations were rattled from underneath them. You know, it says in Isaiah that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, that bondage that's over them. Zechariah says that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. That same authority and power that was there for Paul and Silas to set them free is available to you. It's available to us. And whatever bondages we're in, whatever frustrations, hurts, whatever it is, we need to come before God with a repentant heart and just praise and worship him and ask him to be at work in our life. We need to start walking in obedience. We need to start walking in the Spirit. Imagine if all of us today left and pursued that and took it seriously, got into the Word, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there would be a revival. Things would happen. Things would be transformed. What happened when they did it? The jailer got saved. He went from about to kill himself to his whole household getting saved because of what Paul and Silas did. That's the impact we can have on the world around us. Now, here's my challenge to you guys. I want you guys to stand as we finish in a song. Now, you guys, only you know what's in your heart. And as Paul said, there are things that we should be ashamed to even speak of, things that are done in secret. You know what those things are. But I am challenging you on something. No longer can we try and have a life in the flesh and try and make it compatible with being a disciple of Christ. Hey, you're saved. It's not by works. But God is calling for more of us to walk straight, to walk right. And yes, it will produce incredible fruit in your life. The very things you've been desiring. I started this evening by saying, do you want more? And I believe you guys do. I believe you guys are serious about the Lord. And you want to see him work. We need to start walking in the Spirit. Now, I will say one thing. I will add one caveat to this, and that is this. God is bigger than your situation and your deficiencies. If you are lost and you're walking in darkness and you are trapped, maybe you gave your life to the Lord and then you're just in this rut and you're in bondage to something. Maybe it's a sexual relationship or something like that. Now, I've said to you that it's when you're in the light, when you're in obedience to Christ, that's where he reveals himself, and that's the revelation of his truth through his word. But you know what's amazing? Is when we're way over there in darkness and flesh, by God's goodness and by his mercy, he comes over and he reveals himself to us over here, wherever we are. Now, don't get me wrong, that is God's grace. That is not God's plan. The plan is that we'll be walking in obedience over here. But tonight, it's decision time. I'm not going to have people come forward. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands. For those of you who are believers, who like me, walk the walk of being in the flesh and being in the Spirit and fighting that good fight, I am challenging you to search your heart and to allow the Lord to give you victory. It's really tough to have victory over sin that you're bound to by your effort, by just trying to be disciplined. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to seek God first in all his righteousness, and those chains will be broken. You need to get into his word. You need to be sensitive to his Holy Spirit and watch what happens. You will begin to be set free from these things. There is freedom where the Spirit is. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We trust your word. Your word is so good. It makes complete sense. And it's so freeing. And God, collectively we come before you, we come into your throne room, and we ask that you'd forgive us of our sins. Lord, that you'd transform our lives, that we would be a people known for being your disciples, that would be good image bearers of you. It says in Genesis that we are to reflect God's glory. We are to be image bearers of everything that is good. And we want to make you proud and we want to serve you every day like that. We ask that by your Spirit, by your word, that you would transform us from the inside out. Have your way with us. And God, as we finish on this final worship song, we want to surrender and hand ourselves over to you and ask that you would address the things that you would give us hope. You're a good God, and we are very, very thankful for everything that you've done in our lives. And we pray for this. In your name, Jesus. Amen.